The question was asked, how could it be that a Kohen's slave may eat from Truma, from the holy food of Truma, when an Israelite may not? And the question was strengthened by saying that a Kohen slave who's not Jewish, he purchases this non-Jewish slave, he's a non-Jew, and just from saying, Yosef, Shabbos morning, Mishkan 10:45. Closer. Kohen slave, we're talking about a non-Jew who started the gear process and is terminated halfway as a slave. How come he could eat from the holy truma, and the Jew, an Israelite who's not a Kohen, may not eat from the truma? So I'm going to try to address it a little bit. I'm not sure that what I'm going to say is going to fully answer the question, but maybe a little bit. Let's ask ourselves a different question. A Kohen who purchases kalshinei truma. Kalshinim are a type of, it's borderline grain, which was ordinarily used as animal food, but when there was a famine, so it was just barely edible. And so sometimes people ate it because there was nothing else around. So this seed, because it was sometimes edible, would a person would be obligated to take off truma from this, from the kalshinim. What does the Kohen do with this? He's not interested in eating it. He may feed it to his animal. So using the line of logic that the question was asked with, is that animal holier than an Israelite? So Ari automatically says yes. We have to understand we have to understand where all this is coming from. The Kohen's wife, the Kohen's daughter, may eat from the truma because they are part of his house. The Kohen's children may eat from the truma. The children are Kohanim, the sons, hopefully. The daughters, until they marry, are part of his family. They may eat truma. So the Torah says that truma is holy, and the Torah tells the Kohen that he and his family, he and his household, may enjoy that truma, which extends even to his animals. That doesn't mean that his animals are necessarily holier than an Israelite. I don't know. Maybe they do have an aspect of holiness because they are Kohen's animal that an Israelite does not have. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how to measure holiness. I do know that when the Torah entitles them to partake of the truma, I think it can be viewed as the Torah saying that the truma is given to the Kohen for his needs, for his family and household needs. Gosh, I'm sorry. I would have saved you pizza. I thought we were calling it quit. When I gave everyone seconds of the pizza, I thought we were ending class. Yeah. Say there. I still would have saved you pizza.
What you mean?
Now, if we want to go one step further, when a Jew purchases another Jew, let's say a Jew sees he's not making in life, he's gambling his life away, he doesn't have any more money, he's heavily in debt, he's going to lose his house, he's going to lose everything, and he says, I want to sell myself, or the authorities catch him that he stole, the guy sees he can't control himself, he needs someone else to run his life for him a little bit, to ensure that his wife is fed, that his children are fed, that he doesn't lose everything he has, so the courts sell him as a slave. And after a few years of being a slave, he says, see, this is pretty good. I'm making money, and someone else is taking care of my family and my house and everything. My master's taking care of everything. I like this life. I want to continue. So he may sell himself to the Yovel, to the Jubilee. This person who sells himself, the owner, and tell him, you know, I know you have a wife, but you don't only have to work for me by day, you have to work for me by night as well. I mean, I purchased you, I'm giving you money for this, I'm supporting your wife, you have a responsibility to work for me by day and by night. And by night, I want you to take, I have this non-Jewish female servant, you live with her like husband and wife, procreate for me, I want to have more servants. Now, this same servant, who was Jewish before, and is still Jewish, and if he would walk in and say, I want to marry that slave, we tell him, no, you're not allowed to marry that slave. And now, when he is purchased and told, I want you to live with her as husband and wife and have children for me, now suddenly he's allowed to do it. Torah says that, well, I guess he has to. That's part of what he owes his master. So, that's like a slave, yeah. So we see that when the Torah gives us the ability to purchase someone, and the Torah says that if a person decides to allow himself to be sold, either because he's decided he can't take control of his life, or because he's been stealing and he can't pay up for what he's stolen, so then we're not only purchasing the person's time and his ability to make money, the Torah does give a certain ownership as to the person's Torah's observance, what's called kinyan isu. We're considered, the Torah entitles us not only to ownership over the person's time, he has to do work for you, and of course you have to treat him as well as you can, meaning if there's one bed in the house, he gets it, not you. Can't whip
the
him. Yeah, the slave gets the bed, that's Jewish law. If there's one bed in the house, the slave gets the bed, you have to treat him well. But he does owe you the work. And when the Torah says that you have ownership over him, that ownership extends to his Torah observance as well. So maybe this gives us a little bit of insight into understanding why a slave of a Kohen may eat from Truma. We said on the one hand, we see that the Torah allows the Kohen's whole household to derive benefit from Truma. It seems that the Torah gave this to the Kohen as part of his livelihood, and he's allowed to give it over to his animals, to his wife, to his daughter, to his children. And we also said that the concept of slavery means that the person is not only owned, that his time, his labor is owned, but that the Torah gave ownership to an aspect of the person's Torah observance. And then maybe we could more easily understand that the Torah also allows him to eat from the Truma. Maybe. Okay.